look into a few more words from Peter, right, who was a first-hand witness to many of these things. And he's going to write a letter to some folks who were in a really a hopeless situation. And so we find those in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4 together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We're going to meditate on these words together as we would kind of eat food and let them really ruminate in our soul. So let's ask the Lord's blessing on this food, this spiritual food together. Lord, please bless these words to our soul. I pray that you would feed us with this heavenly manna, that we would go from here changed, that we would have hope. Hope not just in a career or a relationship that is earthly or a stock market or a 401k, Lord, that we would have hope in something that is much greater and lasts eternally. Our hope would be found in you. And so I pray, Lord, for your blessing on these words, that each of us would lead that way. Dear Holy Spirit, we know that you are real and that you are here, and we pray that you would make these words plain to us. Open our spiritual eyes that we may see wonderful things out of your law. And so please make them clear, Lord. Use me as a speaker to preach clearly. And all of us as hearers to understand, and then as we leave to enact and to do what we have heard. And so we ask for your blessing on this time. Lord, we thank you for each person here, and we pray for your blessing on them in every way, primarily spiritually, Lord, that each one would be blessed as you are blessed. Lord, we ask that you would build your church today in this room, and then all across Queens and New York, as your word is lifted up, Lord Jesus, glorify yourself, and we'll thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you've ever felt hopeless in life, we can all feel that way at times. And perhaps today you've come in feeling that way. I don't know what you're facing. But no doubt in the past you have felt hopeless at one time or other in life. And maybe even this afternoon. Tim Cassie shares the story of a lady who at once felt hopeless as well. She lived in still does live in Inner Mongolia. A brother named Amrad took him to her house. Her name is Nasho. When he met her, she eagerly took out from beneath her mending work her treasured copy of the Mongolian Bible. 6 months before that, though, Nasho's husband had divorced her, abandoning her and their 8-year-old son. She walked out of that courtroom after given the divorce notification, overwhelmed, she said, by hopelessness. She felt hopeless. But there, on those steps, she met a Christian who shared with her the good news that that Christian had just recently heard and believed as well. Nasho trusted Christ right there. And she says that that worst day of her life became the best day of her life. She found hope very quickly. Believers started meeting in her home. Actually, in just a few months, that group of four turned to 40. They had never heard of church planting or sharing kind of with means or programs. They just said, we know about Jesus Christ and we got to tell others. We moved from Mongolia to India and hear another story of hopelessness. This a teenage boy was driven very hard by his father, so hard that he resented it and resisted it. This came to a crash course when resisting his father made him skip school and his father beat him severely, causing the young man to despair of his life. And he attempted to take his own life. In the hospital, he too was met with this message of Christ and the hope of Christ. And he believed. He said, "I turned my life completely over to Jesus Christ. I walked out of that hospital a new man. The Lord had entered in. The transformation was dramatic as I could ever imagined. There is no other way to describe it. From then on, my longings and my hopes and my dreams, my every effort have been to live for the one who rescued me." And you may know that young man as Ravi Zacharias. There's hope in China. There's hope in India. And there's hope in America. There's hope in this room today. And the hope is tied to the message we've just heard read. That is the message of Jesus. And it's clearly taught here in 1 Peter, that hope. I wonder if you, when I read that, did the word jump out at you, the word hope? Look back again at 1 Peter 1:3. I'll read this again. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living," what? "Hope." You too can today have a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter is writing this to some folks who are going through persecution, probably seizure of their property and their well-being, very difficult times, right? So this message of hope transcends difficult times. It transcends thousands of years, and it's the same message of hope to us in Queens today. And I just hope that you'll take a moment here. Please don't tune me out, okay? And just let the words, we're just going to go word by word through this passage in front of you. That's right there in that worship guide in front of you. And we're just going to let the word kind of teach us this message of hope. We're going to do so by asking three questions, and the Bible itself will answer these questions. Three questions, okay, that this Bible answers in verses 3 and 4. And what's interesting, as we go along, it's kind of like the answer to each one builds on the previous one. So we're going to answer a question, and that answer is going to lead us to another question, and that answer is going to lead us to another question, and I promise it will be done in just 20 minutes or so, okay? I better not promise. 20 or 25 minutes, and I'll be through. If not, you can throw me off. But please, please try to pay attention to these words. These words are the important things, not what I say. These words, okay? And so the way I'd like to walk through this is the idea, as I thought, there's this kind of like these Russian nesting dolls, right? That you open one and the next one comes, you open the other and the next one, and the other one and the next one comes. So that's the way we're going to walk through this. And of course, it's Easter, so we're going to do it with Easter eggs. Okay, so we're going to open up one and answer the question, then we're going to open up the other, but the text is going to do it. So that's what we're going to do as we walk through these three questions and answers. The first question here, what is the ultimate end of Easter? What is the ultimate end of Easter? Why Easter? And the answer is praise. The answer is praise. What is the ultimate end of Easter? Well, praise. And we see that there in that first phrase of 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The action commanded is blessed. May God be blessed. May He be considered favorable. When we say God bless you, often it's after someone sneezes. I don't know, that's just a cultural thing we do. But He is saying, in fact, eight times this occurs in the New Testament, it actually is always referring to God. May God be blessed. Well, you may think, well, God doesn't need to be blessed. I mean, He doesn't need me to bless Him. But what it's referring to is the idea of may God be blessed, may He be fortunate, no matter what happens to me, no matter what happens to anyone else, my prayer is that God would be considered most favorable, most blessed, most praised. That's the idea behind this. And in fact, it's a normal way that Hebrew prayers begin, right? For those of you who are Jewish or raised Jewish, you know, blessed be the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. That's the way many of these prayers begin. And Peter's Jewish. And so he takes that idea of a praise prayer and he says, blessed be the Lord God. And then he goes to not just what creator, but new creator, regenerator. And we'll get to that in a second. But blessed, may God be blessed. Okay, so we get to the object of his blessing, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, not just a random deity, but one specific, the one true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May he be blessed. May the God of the Bible be blessed. May he be fortunate. May he be praised. And that's what this is all about, right? This service is a worship service where we think about God and what he has done for us. If I could just apply this to our own lives and just for a moment here, this is actually a big deal. This is the reason we are made, is to bless the Lord God of heaven and earth, to praise him. All our lives should be about praising him. This is why we're made. And we work best when we're doing this best. When our lives are existing to make him look big, make him look great. As John Piper said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in God. And so we find our satisfaction, our true well-being in blessing him, in praising him. And he's made us to where when we're doing that, we find satisfaction. We find true blessing ourselves. And so this is the root of Christianity. That I find my joy in bringing joy to God. Living for God. Blessed be the Lord God of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Lord God, Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful attitude to have. And truly is the center of Christianity. This is why Job was able to lose his 7 children, all his wealth, all his property, everything in one day. And what did he say? Naked I came to this world, naked I'll return. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken. What? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? Because his worship was not founded on his circumstances or his bank account or what he had, but was on the Lord himself. This is an amazing way to live. And you're made to where you're not going to be happy with anything else until you come to that point. So that's a spoiler alert of life. Right? If you can find your joy in blessing the Lord and praising him and putting forth his name, then you'll have joy every day of your life. But if your joy is found in the circumstances of life, then the circumstances are going to go up and down. And so we need to find our joy in this worship. And that's what this is all about. So, question number one. All right, what is this end? What is the end of all this Easter? It's to praise, to glorify God. Well, let's come to the next question. Question number two. Why praise him? What is the primary reason for this praise? Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is a primary reason to praise him? We move that. The next phrase. Because he's done something. Who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. To a new and living hope. Right? And so the reason for this praise is this thing called new birth. Right? He has caused us to be born again. Why should I praise him at Easter time? Because of something God has caused. So look here at the what and the why of this gift. The what. What has God caused? He has caused the new birth. He has caused someone to be born again. The hearers here to be born again. To be born again. Literally to be regenerated. To be fathered anew. God has caused this to happen in people's lives where they're born spiritually. Right? All of you have been born physically, but he's saying that some folks are born spiritually. doesn't happen when you're born physically. No one was born spiritually when they were born physically. Right? We're born dead spiritually, and we need to be brought to life spiritually, is what this idea is talking about, being born again. It happens by God. It's caused by God, it says here. Being caused to be born again. The Bible talks a lot about this. Jesus talked about this with Nicodemus on the rooftop in John 3. Needing to be born again. A new birth, he says. If you're taking notes, you could look right down these other references. Not just John 3, but in John 1:13, James 1:18, and also 1 John. The Bible talks about being born of God. Not just born physically, but born of God, our Heavenly Father. In fact, he talks about this again, if you have your Bible there, he actually talks about it again in this chapter where he tells how this happens. Okay, we know that God causes it, but God uses a specific agent, a specific tool to bring this about. Look at verse 23 there in 1 Peter chapter 1. For you have been born again, he says. Okay, that's what we're talking about, this being born again. You have been born again. How? Not by seed which is perishable, but imperishable. How are you born again? Through the living and enduring Word of God. All right, so he's talking about the Bible here. That this Bible actually is like seed that is sown in your heart, this message. And when you receive that, as a soil receives seed, right? You take it in, you say, I believe this, I trust that this is true, what you're sharing about Jesus. Then you are born again. You have a spiritual life that begins. Actually, spiritual life, something that was not there before, begins anew in you as you hear the Word of God presented. And so that's why our church, right, mailed out this Easter message, because we're concerned that our friends and neighbors hear about the Word of God, the message. Right? And take it in and believe it, truly. Latch on to it. Right? But the Word will do this. And so I would encourage you, if you're kind of doubting this, to take it up and read it. Right? I just heard one of our friends here has been coming, Jack, here for a number of years, just finished reading through the Bible this past week. That's awesome. We encourage you to try that yourself. Right? And in simple faith, I believe this Word, and then you're born anew. You're born again. Now, why does this happen? That's the what of it. You're born again. Go back to verse 3 and we'll find the why of this new birth. Why does God cause this new birth to happen? Did you pick it out? Why is it? According to His mercy. This is so important. It's according to His mercy that God causes us to be born again. What is mercy? Right, you ever play that game Mercy with someone stronger than you, right? And you're doing this, and then all of a sudden there's pain. You say, Mercy, and they stop, right? Because you don't deserve them to stop, but that's mercy. It's getting what you don't deserve. And so when he brings up this idea of mercy within the realm of being born again, what he's saying is that you don't deserve to be born again. You deserve spiritual death. But you're given spiritual life. Right? That's what he's talking about when he says that God causes you to be born again according to His great mercy. And so if you are today saying, I deserve it, then you don't have it. It's only by mercy that we have this new birth. Utterly, entirely by God's mercy. I'll illustrate this way. Maybe you've heard someone in a courtroom crying out for mercy from the judge. Anthony Lopez, maybe you saw this last month from Staten Island. I'm asking you, judge, give me a second chance at life. I know that one day I can be a more productive member of society. Your Honor, please have mercy on my life. He said, I'm a good man who made some bad decisions. Right? So this wasn't mercy. Right? That's saying, I'm a good person. And I just made some bad decisions. Mercy is, I don't deserve pardon, but please give me mercy. This man killed his wife, his pregnant wife. we would say you no mercy. Maybe a more famous illustration would be Michael Vick. I just finished reading his biography not too long ago. How many of you remember Michael Vick? He played for the Jets as a quarterback toward the end of his career. But he went from very famous to infamous, from one of the top players, probably the best player in the NFL, maybe the highest regarded athlete at that time in Atlanta, to a hated player and bankruptcy. Because of not just being involved in drugs and immorality, but a habit that our society really hates was dogfighting, right? And so there was all these types of things that he was doing on the side, and he got prison sentence for this. And so when he got out, he asked the world to forgive him, but he started doing stuff. He started speaking for the SPCA and against dogfighting and for the good treatment of animals, and started living as a family man, and he actually returned to the Lord, asking God for forgiveness. But he asked for society to forgive him based on his works, right? And a lot of society did, because of what he did after his bad past. But again, that is not mercy, is it? Because it's saying, I want you to... Now, you know, this is, he's asking of society, yes, God for forgiveness based on mercy and as a Christian. But when you come to a judge, you don't say, X, Y, and Z is all I did, therefore you need to give me mercy. That's not mercy. And if you come to God today saying, you need to accept me because of all my religious deeds. I went to church on Easter Sunday. Right? I mean, it was right at 1 p.m. when I was hungry too. Right? Or did you see what I gave in the offering plate? Or right? Did you see all the gift? No, that is not mercy. Right? That's these people trying to get out of the ski. This is mercy. Mercy is Martin Luther. He called himself a sack of what was it? Poor stinking bag of maggots that I am. Right, that's a heart that wants mercy. Or John Newton asked for amazing grace, why? To save a wretch like me. Right, that's the person who has grasped the gospel. Not look at my religious deeds, not give me karma because of all the stuff I've done in the past. No, it's Jesus, you earned all my favor. And that's the gospel. It's based on mercy. The mercy of God. Jesus taught this so clearly in Luke 18. And he pictures this. There's this one person who is the religious nut in the sense that everything they did was religious to uphold all the laws, the Pharisee. Right, this would make the Orthodox Jewish person blush in how religious they were. And then there was someone who was hated, this sinner. All right, look at that person. Verse 13, but the tax gatherer, right, and they were hated in that day for joining with Rome. He couldn't even come to the temple, but standing some distance away, was unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven. He's like, I don't deserve heaven. He said, what? God be what? Merciful. He knew mercy to me, the sinner. Jesus said, that person went home justified, not the religious person. So when we come to Jesus, we come crying out for mercy. And I would encourage you to do that today. Maybe you've never realized that the gospel is not about what we've done, it's what Jesus has done. And even now in your heart, you could cry out, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that person goes home justified, declared to be right with God. You can leave today with the hope of heaven, being right with God because of mercy. That mercy is pending something else, though, as we continue to read. Right, we get to our questions again. What is the primary purpose of Easter? Praise. What is the primary reason to praise? Well, there's this new birth. And then what are two consequences of this new birth, of this gift? What are two primary... gracious gifts that flow out of this new birth. In verses 3 and 4, we come to those. And they're the two twos. Do you see the two twos here? Verse 3, He caused us to be born again. And then there's a two, to a living hope. All right, so that's the first one. And then you keep reading verse 4, there's another one. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then there's another one. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. So those are our two twos. These benefits, two primary benefits of the new birth. So you'd say, Tim, why would I want to be born again? Well, here are the two reasons why to receive this message of Easter. First of all, that you're born again to a living hope. You have this living hope. That's why I say this is why you can leave with hope today. There is hope for you. The spiritual benefit of a living hope. God can make you to be born alive spiritually so that you have an eternal future. It is one that is living. Paul said, Now may God, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the living hope. It's not the hope of a dead prophet. It's not a blind hope. It's not a leap in the dark. It is a living hope in a living Lord. Because our living hope is in Jesus. We have a confident expectation of the future. And that's why this is tied to Easter, right? Because you continue on, we have a living hope through what? Right, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why this is tied to Easter. Your living hope was tied to the fact that Jesus rose again on the third day. Our living hope is tied to Easter. Our living hope is tied to the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. How silly of us to set our hope on anything else. Everything else is finite, weak, limited. Right? Don't hope in these things. Don't hope in the lottery. Don't hope in any get-rich-quick schemes or money at all. The markets rise and fall. Bank accounts rise and fall. Health rises and falls. But if your living hope is on Jesus, you have a continuing inheritance. And so this is what Easter is all about. It's claiming the fact that Jesus has given me hope. He has earned it for me. Jesus paid the penalty for my sin on the cross. And so when He was going into that tomb, He was taking with Him all my sorrow, all my eternal pain, all my eternal judgment, and He was in the tomb bearing it. And we're waiting to see if He will conquer all of my sin, sorrow, and pain. And so that early morning when the ladies came and say, Jesus is risen, that is our hope. He has finished it. It is done. He has conquered all of that. It is all over. And now we have hope in Him. And we have this eternal inheritance. This living hope, this eternal inheritance. Verse 4. Right, to have this living hope which ends in inheritance, to obtain an inheritance. Look at these three adjectives that describe this inheritance, which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away because it's reserved in heaven for you today. It can't spoil. It can't wrinkle or warp. No expiration notice, right? It's imperishable. Right, there's nothing worse than milk that's gone bad. Right, so you stay way away from that expiration date because you smell it and it's like, at least turns my stomach. Right, your inheritance, your living hope never perishes. It will never wear out. It will never spoil or decay, the Bible says there. It's a living hope. It will never spoil or decay. If you saw the grandchildren who inherited a car collection from their dad, this is French. He started this collection in the 50s. Roger Bayon, and he kind of ran into financial trouble, so their cars decayed, but they're still worth like $16 million. But your living hope, your inheritance, will never decay like this. It is reserved in heaven for you. It is in Christ. It's not a bunch of old rusty cars. Right? It's not a stocks and bonds. And it's secure for you in Christ. Jesus has earned it. If you saw this, this is actually from a few years ago, but Jackie Chan disinherited his family for their own good, he said. So they can't touch his $130 million, or probably more than that by now, when he dies. He had earlier said he'd give half of his inheritance to charity. But he changed his mind, saying it's all going to charity. So we wrote him a letter. No, it's all going to charity. Because, he said, if JC is capable, he can make his own money. If he is not, then he'll just be wasting my money. Jackie Chan. So he wants his... Now, I'm sure his son has plenty, having lived in his household. All right, but your inheritance will never be taken away. It's reserved in heaven for you. All right, and so no matter what your problem is today, you turn to Christ, and He gives you the promise of eternal life, a greater inheritance than any gold and silver can buy. So if you've come today and you feel hopeless, let me encourage you to find hope in Christ. No matter your trouble, it's temporary. It is temporary. Your trial, your temptation, your weakness, all of these are swallowed up in the fact of Jesus' resurrection. Your trials are a limited and waiting eternal joy, eternal bliss. Your pain today is waiting eternal comfort. The pain is temporary. The comfort is eternal. That's that inheritance waiting for you. Your sorrow is awaiting eternal joy. Your frustration today is awaiting eternal peace. Absence of war and violence eternally. Your sickness today is awaiting an eternity of health. Eternal health, eternal joy. This is the positive nature of the resurrection, because Jesus endured all that. We will be sown in weakness, raised in glory. Your loneliness today is limited, because you await an eternal family, an eternity of family. Your inadequate resources today are only for a limited time, because you're waiting for an eternal abundance, an overabundance for eternity. Your times of failure are limited, awaiting a time of eternal victory. Paul sees this as present, sees us even seated now in the heavenly places in Christ because of God's mercy. Because God poured out all of our suffering, the penalty for all of our sin, on Jesus on the cross, and He died in our place. The payment is made, the power is gained, the wrath is stayed, that we may be eternally glad in Him. Death came because of sin. Jesus died to put an end to death, so that when He rose again, all that trust in Him will have eternal life. And that's our inheritance today because of Easter. And so we can say here together, why don't we read this out loud together? Would you read it with me? Verse 3 and 4, it's on the screen there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to close today, but I'd like to close with a prayer. Jesus has earned this, but the Bible calls this a gift. It's the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And a gift needs to be received. A gift is something that needs to be received. And so that's why that when it talks about being given this spiritual life that is eternal life, it talks about it in the realm of just like you're born physically at one moment of time, you're born spiritually at one moment of a time. And that can be today. And so I would encourage you right now to receive the gift of eternal life. Receive an inheritance that will never fade away. Receive a living hope because of Jesus' resurrection. Well, how do you receive it? The Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so in the quietness of this moment, you just need to ask for that. You just need to ask, based on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Remember again, not based on your works. You can't come. God hears you. He's going to hear your prayer. But you can't come saying, X, Y, and Z is what I've done. You got to just throw all that away and come and say, God, I don't deserve it. You know I don't deserve it. He knows all of our inner thoughts. But I ask for it based on Jesus. I ask for eternal life. And if you will sincerely ask Him in this closing moment for eternal life based on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, He will give you eternal life. All that hope in the future with Him will be yours. He longs to give it to you. And so I'd encourage you in the quiet in this moment, I'm just going to have a few moments of quiet. And He hears your heart. Would you call upon the name of the Lord? Ask Him for salvation. Ask Him for eternal life. I'll be standing at the lobby, and we have a couple of counselors also. If you would like to say, I just need to talk to someone about this, you can ask Jesus now to give you eternal life. But you say, you know what, I would feel more comfortable just talking to someone and having them show me from the Bible how to do that. No one's going to be looking around. Everybody's eyes are closed and heads bowed. You could just slip out of your seat and step to the back. We can have a counselor share with you from the Bible how you can know you have eternal life. So when I head to the back, our counselors will head back, and you can head back too and love to pray with you. But don't wait for that. You could even call upon the name of the Lord now and say, Lord Jesus, please be merciful to me and give me eternal life based on Jesus. And today could be your day of spiritual birth, your spiritual birthday. Let's all respond to this message of eternal life. If you have received it, then spend this time in prayers of praise.